say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
His brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that doesn't search for life on other planets. We just accidentally created here. This is Hysteria 51.
There is nothing accidental about me. The ancient Mayans believed I was willed into existence by the universe.
Yeah, eternal cheese muffins and shit.
Right. Anyway, broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, I'm your host, Brent Hand, and my usual partner in crime, John Goforth, is out this week.
His parole was revoked.
Stop it. Those other voices you're hearing are unfortunately always here. Always. I made Conspiracy Bot to help with the show. He doesn't. He made Kyle. Blah, blah, blah. They suck.
You stop it. I'm blushing.
The good news for this week is I'm not alone. I have a returning guest. He's pulling co-host duties. And if you're listening the last time he was on, he made a request. He said, if I want to come back on this fucking dumpster fire of a podcast, I want to have my own theme song. Well, I'm lazy. So I had C-Bot do it.
I worked really hard on it also, and I think you will all be impressed.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So without any further ado, welcome back, Mr. David Floreus.
These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know.
David Floreus.
I hardly know him. These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know.
David, number one, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for that. Thanks for that, C-Bot.
Sued by Kids of the Hole, I think.
Yeah, that might be. You might need to lawyer up. I'll tell you what's more impressive to me is that you remembered the exact wording that I used when I asked for that bump. Dumpster fire and everything.
I pride myself on the fire that is. Well, you know, we're the official podcast of 2020.
I guess so. You don't just get given that title. Yeah. You gotta earn it.
No, you fucking earn it. So what's been up, man? You're surviving out in the plague lands.
Basically, I've got the mask and the goggles and the hat. The hat's the most important part. But everything's going well. Staying busy, even though I'm not really churning out material. I'm just like preparing material to be churned out.
No, I hear you there. Yeah. Well, it's the new normal. It's the new normal.
No, the new normal is nothing's normal.
Right.
Therefore, with nothing being normal, everything's normal.
I've heard that term.
How it works?
Yeah, I think so, because I've heard that term more in the last 6 months than I have in my entire life. So that's
more in these trying times or more in these unprecedented times. Now more than ever.
Hey, but at least it's an election year, so we got that to look forward to. Oh, wait, no.
Boing, oing, 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 oing.
Oof. So this is a different thing than we usually do on Hysteria 51, because this is topical. We John's out, so we grabbed on, you and I, we grabbed on to something that's been in the news literally this week.
Yeah, usually you ingest stuff.
Yeah.
But this week, we're topical.
Yeah. I'm like that ointment.
God, Brent, keep up. Can't do this forever.
I'm like an analgesic or whatever the hell.
That's gross.
Topical. But yeah, no, 2020, like you said, it's been a crazy year, and it is keeping going, because if you've been on Hysteria Nation, you've been looking in the news, Venus, our twin out there, has been in the news, and rightfully so. Why, you ask?
No one asked.
Shut up. Anyway, because, David, possible life. Possible life.
It's life, Brent, but not as we know it. Not as we know it. Not as we know it.
Yeah. Well, and not as we know of Venusian life either, because it's not that purple skin looker Valiant Thor this time that we've talked about on this podcast before, but a different kind of Venusian, or possible. They found signs of possible life in the clouds.
Wow.
Yeah, Lando Calrissian would be salivating with a boner just at the thought of that.
I mean, part and parcel. But
remember those weird orange ships that they flew out of Cloud City? I never understood. With like two pilots, one on each side?
Yeah, yeah. Bespin, those Bespin flyers or whatever, they transported that gas. What was that gas to start with a T?
Not Terran.
Not Terran. It was like, it was almost like Tritanium or something.
Oh,
I forget.
Ooh. See, I was just throwing out, you know, so I remember, and you're like, well, the such and such, the Valkyrie 9 lift level, you know, they had a maximum ceiling of,
That's funny because that's exactly what I thought of when I started, and we'll get into this, I'm sure, but when I started watching some of the videos on this and reading the articles, it really made it seem like, hey, if we're going to do any good on Venus, it's going to have to be Bespin Cloud City.
Yeah, it's going to, yeah, it's fucking blimps and shit. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, what was that movie that came out a couple years ago? Mortal Engines. Did you see that by any chance? They had that one floating blimp city up in the sky. Crazy. And if you're not familiar with Venus, a little backstory in case you forgot, I don't know, like third or fourth grade, we remember this shit, are you learning? Venus is named after the Roman goddess of beauty. Isn't that nice? And she's a goddess on a mountaintop, burning like a silver flame with a summit of beauty and love. And is Venus this, was her name.
Is this a reference to razors?
That's the razors? Banana of the Rama. Yes, the razors. Keep it shorn. It is Earth. It's called Earth's twin because it's roughly the same mass as Earth. And in fact, tons of scientists think that if you go back in time, Venus was probably once covered in water and possessed an atmosphere where life as we know it on Earth could have flourished, but then things changed and, runaway greenhouse gases took over. And now the wonderful thing about it is it enjoys temperatures an average of 800 degrees Fahrenheit on the surface. So it's a little toasty.
It is. Yeah. That's one of those gotcha things about the solar system where people say, what's the hottest planet? You want to say Mercury because it's the closest to the sun, you know, but No, mon frere.
It's the hellscape that is Venus.
That's right.
Famous. So many people refer to it as a hellscape when you're reading about it.
Compared to what?
Right. Right. And if the heat doesn't get you, it also contains clouds that are raining corrosive sulfuric acid. Yep. And it's fucking thick, man. It's dense. The atmosphere, they say, is about 1,300 pounds per square inch, which is about roughly 90 times that of Earth. So when you're at sea level, which most of us usually aren't at sea level, but if you are, you have 14. Hey, now we experience about 14.7 pounds per square inch. So Venus is equivalent to being 3,000 feet underwater in the ocean.
Ugh. No, thank you. So if the heat doesn't get you, then the sulfuric acid in the rain will get you.
Yeah.
If the sulfuric acid doesn't get you, the pressure will get you.
I've just been watching these videos that had, I mean, it didn't have anything to do with this, but just this underwater stuff. The guys that do underwater welding and laying of the pipes and stuff that are a mile down, you know, 5,000, thousand feet. And they go down there and you have to, it's like for every day that you're there, you have to stay in decompression for a day plus one in the beginning and one in the end. So if you're down for five, it's like 7 days. Like decompression. So they stay compressed the whole time and they come up to the ships in a little elevator that's compressed and they stay in a bubble on the ship, like a, you know, a tin can inside the ship that's compressed for just weeks at a time. And it's literally like six guys in what is, you would think is the size of a jail cell. Now, probably they're making ridiculous amounts of money. But shit, that is not something I want to do.
I just read something about that recently. Somebody mentioned how well it paid, but it used to pay better comparatively because not many people did it or were willing to do it, but now, you know, everybody wants to do it.
Well, now, so, like, they got shit that actually works, so they don't lose one out of every seven guys, probably.
Jeez.
I don't know. That's, that might be a made-up statistic. It might not be. But it's crazy that we're talking about this. Like you said, 800 degrees. It's raining acid. It's the same as being on the bottom of the ocean. And yet they're going, maybe, just maybe.
Life finds a way.
Thank you, Dr. Ian Malcolm, I think that one that is named.
Yep. Chaostatician or whatever it
is. Yeah. You dabble in that, don't you, still?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got that from Sally Struthers' correspondence school.
Yeah, the
correspondence course where I fed a young African child and also got some kind of diploma.
I printed it. I was low on blue, so it doesn't look right, but it's nice.
It's kind of like orangey, but yeah. No, it's crazy. And this is the same planet that is famous for just wrecking any probes or anything that, you know, people have sent there to try to learn about it.
It literally eats metal, they said.
Yeah.
So, like, if you land, I forget the number of probes, and you might know, that they've done, but only two have ever made it to the surface and was like, I'm here, and they die immediately. Only two of them ever even got something out before it was literally eaten.
There was a, I think there was a Russian rover or something that landed, and it managed to take a few pictures, and then, it was like, Do svidaniya, comrades.
Well, they just sent whatever they, you know, had left over from one of their reactors that didn't blow. That'll probably last. It's fine. Send that shit.
Yeah, this is a crazy planet, though. And I think that's why it's such a big deal that, you know, this possible life, which we'll, you know, talk about and debate, I'm sure, but this possible life is found. It's crazy. It's the last place you'd expect, really.
Right, which is kind of one of those things that we're running into is when they go, there's nothing. Oh, wait, no, something's there. Yeah. But before we get into Venus too far, David, 2020 has been, I think you can say, even ripe with alien and UFO talk from, you know, the Tic Tac stuff has been back in the news. People keep talking about disclosure. You got TTSA on the TV and everywhere. The New York Times are coming out with articles from, you know, the supposed Wilson Davis leaks and papers and on and on and on. It's stuff that we've talked upon here, and it's been everywhere. And even the mainstream media has talked about a lot of these things this year.
I think you mean the lamestream media.
Thank you, Alex. And yes. What are your thoughts on what's going on? What I mean by that is, do you feel like this is normal progression? Do you feel like this is a planned trickle feeding? Like some say this is like pieces of disclosure. Could this all just be a psyop? Do you have any opinions, or is it just that 2020 is playing out this way and the shit's lined up and the cards are falling?
So when you ask that, are you saying then to eventually get to disclosure, or you're
either
assuming
or,
that
is it something that we're getting to, or is it just that these are the things that
or
are
is it
happening?
Just random?
Yeah. Like, what are your thoughts? Cause that's been something that we've kind of debated and a lot of people keep bringing up.
Yeah. I tell you this, if it is leading to something as in disclosure of alien life, or that there are, you know, reptilians running the government or whatever, if there's something that big, I don't think this is the right order that they would have taken. So I don't know about a trickling trickle down economics on this one, because I feel
bunch of grab assers in NASA. Trying to
I got shot. Shit. Nancy, get my gun.
He did have one of the best comebacks out of speech, though, when he heard a balloon pop and was like,
Miss me.
I love that. But I think it's out of order if it's supposed to be some kind of revelation, because this would come way earlier than seeing videos of UFOs in our atmosphere and having the government say, we don't know, you know, these are literally unidentified flying objects. Mm-hmm. We're not saying they are extraterrestrial, but then you have somebody that came out and was, you know, recently saying, these are extraterrestrial. These are, they are not from Earth.
Right. And you know, I guess so, you can make the, this is just me playing devil's advocate because I agree with that. You could say, well, they're going to say, well, we found microbes, and people go, oh, we aren't alone. And then they go, also, this is your supreme ruler.
that's a big leap.
And Gleep Clop comes out and he goes, hi, thanks. Thanks for keeping the place. We're going to take over for now. Yeah, it is a big leap. It is a big, and that's why a lot of people say it's a psyop. It you know, the last thing we had a lot of these things come forward is, you know, in the late 80s, and we had people at that time were talking a lot about stuff, and it turns out that it was false. And a lot of it was just propaganda from the government by people that were injected into ufology and things like that to cause a stir. And that's something that, you know, this week, Tom DeLonge came out and said that he believes aliens were present at the birth of Jesus Christ. So
big claim.
That's fun. You know, he's saying
he is shooting from downtown on
Man,
that one.
TTSA needs to get a handle on that motherfucker. Like, dude, I know you're in a rock band and you bring a lot of like popularity, but like shut your fucking mouth. I don't know, man.
or just wind him up and keep him going, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess.
Hey, whatever.
There's a fine line.
If it's bringing in money.
Yeah, the entertainment and it being kind of dangerous for people because some people believe this shit.
Right. You're right.
And they use that power to make decisions. So
yeah, and it's just one of those things where there's no proof to anything. Let's say that there was. Who knows? You know, he can't prove it or disprove it. And the thing that people say is, well, I know, but I can't tell you. Well, that didn't work when I was in school. I don't know if you remember that or not. I don't know if it worked for you. What? What's the difference between 2/3 and 3/3? Well, you know, I could tell you, but I'm not allowed.
It'll cost you.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, how much? You can't afford it.
Right. All right, David, it's a break time, but when we come back, life on Venus, ? What are scientists and dumb robots saying on the matter? That's next on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited-time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Did he have a good break?
The best of breaks. It was the best of breaks. It was the worst of breaks. The blurst of breaks.
Well, we're coming back. We're going to start with a heavy hitter. You probably heard about him, I hope. Mr. Carl Sagan. I've never heard of him. So in 1967, he's kind of the guy who brought this to the attention of the world. He said, and this is a quote, "If small amounts of minerals are stirred up to the clouds from the surface, it is by no means difficult to imagine an indigenous biology in the clouds of Venus." So that's something he wrote in Nature, the magazine, in 1967, 2 years before NASA landed on the moon. To put it in perspective there. And he went on to say, "While the surface conditions of Venus make the hypothesis of life there implausible, the clouds of Venus are a different fucking story altogether." I made up one of those words.
Yeah, emphasis Brent. that's crazy, but also it's kind of dumb not to think of it in those terms, you know, that there are very inhospitable places on Earth that still have what are considered life, bacteria, right. You know, things that may be anaerobic that can't survive, you know, with that can survive without oxygen, or you're, things
look at
that
things
live
that
in,
are down in the geysers of Yellowstone, which is H3O, it's heavy water, and exactly. They're living off of the CO2 that is 1,000 degrees, literally.
Yeah, extremophiles, I think they call them. So
extremophile.
The new political party. But for something like a Venus to to think about it not being able to at all support life, I think that would be a limiting thought. So Sagan was, you know, on top of his game.
He was, because this is before we were probed there, or we probed Venus, per se. But he knew before we knew for sure that the surface was hot. He just figured it was, you know, and he figured, well, you know, runaway greenhouse gases effects, blah, blah, blah. Probably the atmosphere is the most probable place for life. And it's kind of way up there. It's about 31 miles at the top of Venus's clouds. And that is where they're getting these readings from. And interestingly enough, the conditions there are actually really close to Earth-like. It dips down as like 86 degrees Fahrenheit. And it's roughly the same pressure as ground level on Earth.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's this little Goldilocks zone mm-hmm. up there in the... in the clouds, like a belt going around the whole thing, and it's right before, I think it's pretty much right before you break into space, you get out of the atmosphere. But it's kind of like a tropical kind of pleasant atmosphere out right. there. And that's where they're talking about sending people, probes, setting up bases, and then eventually maybe humans to hang out there. Apparently, you know, I guess you can just stick something up there like a blimp. I think NASA was talking about blimps, and let it just sit there and collect all the data and do whatever you, yeah. you need to do. And it, you'll get water from condensation. Apparently, mm-hmm. there's enough that, you know, you won't have to worry about water. There's enough power. I guess you could use solar power. Maybe yeah. you could pull power from the atmosphere somehow. But it's a feasible thing to make a literal Bespin cloud city.
Well, yeah. and they said on top of that, too, you like you just said, you have sunlight and water vapor and CO2. So even Carl Sagan said you have the recipe for the building blocks of life there present, which is the capability for photosynthesis.
And, now, how would you what kind of life do you think, Brent, would be coming out of this? Are we talking some kind of wild
I would think flying it'd have flowers? I think it's got to be microbial, you know, like
what would that evolve into?
I don't know if it is evolved into anything else, you know what I mean? Or if it's just the
speculatively, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know, because you're right. It would have to be something that's so buoyant it can stay there. I don't have an answer.
Well, yeah, like obviously right now all we got microbes and bacteria and that's exciting and everything. Right. But at the same time, it's kind of like, duh.
But look at like if you go to the seabed and you look at seaweed. They look like they have seeds on them or berries or something like that. And those are actually little hollow capsules that have air in them. And that's why the leaves float up so that they can collect sunlight. And so that they are floating up and it grows at an incredible rate. That's just one, you know, example of things on Earth where they find a way to rise up to be able to collect what they need. Given enough time and evolution and things like that, things find a way.
Sure.
Bouncing back. Sure. So going back to the whole Sagan thing, 11 years after he made his prediction, there was another probe that did go to Venus and discovered methane in the atmosphere. And he and others, so this was around 78, and he and others felt this could be considered a predictor of the presence of organic material. Now, they didn't come out and say that there's life because they got to be cautious with stuff like that. No one can prove methane meant life beyond reasonable doubt, but there is these pieces to life. And then, you know, we're going to get into what was found there now. There's a lot of things, just pieces falling into place, it feels like.
It's funny. I don't mean to jump too much ahead, but it's funny that they that sounds like exactly what these new articles and this new announcement
exactly.
is saying.
It just adds just one more piece content. To it. Exactly. Yeah. You're exactly right. So, well, like you said, we fast forward today and astronomers have reported in there's actually been two papers that have come out that with telescopes, now not with probes, but with telescopes, they have detected a chemical phosphine in the atmosphere, the upper atmosphere of Venus. And here's the kicker. After analysis, the scientists came out and they said that something now alive is the only explanation for the chemical source. That's a hell of a statement. Now, that's the guys who wrote the paper, not everyone, but that is what they said.
I mean, that's something that can be checked, but that's one of the few little markers that they have tried to narrow down when they're looking for, you know, life in space and other places, is this phosphine molecule that is apparently only produced by living things or... It's synthetic. It's made in a lab.
Yeah. So they said the only other place. Yeah. They said a couple people disagreed with that statement, and they said that the gas could result from unexplained atmospheric or geological process of a planet that remain mysterious.
Ooh. Well, true.
So when you break down what is phosphine, they said. They said it looks like a pyramid. One atom of phosphorus topping a base of three hydrogen atoms.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the Cassini spacecraft from NASA. It detected in the atmosphere of Jupiter and Saturn But they said it was expected there, not caused by life, because there's so much heat and pressure that it just jams all that shit together that you find those molecules that you only find on Earth from life, because it's just getting crushed and everything's being pushed together. So if you have, you know, if you have all the shit that's going to create it, you have it. The difference is when you get to smaller rocky planets like Earth and Venus, people say, researchers say, there's not enough energy to produce any copious amounts of phosphine in that way other than through life.
Yeah, yeah, which makes sense. And even though Venus has a ton of pressure, it's nowhere near what, you know, Jupiter and Saturn can produce. So it's a, I would say, semi-reliable indicator, because the other thing, the only way, well, I should say, it's only based on our current understanding.
Right.
So there could be something that we don't know yet that produces it or causes it. But as far as what we have right now and the knowledge and everything that we've accumulated, that's what they have narrowed this down to as a life indicator. So
Right. And
could be something that we just don't know.
And these are people almost as smart as me, so I take their word for it.
Yeah, yeah, you'd be inclined to, I think.
It's just a smart fucking decision. That's what you do. But the other thing that I love about this is you look at this and we're saying, okay, well, we're seeing these building blocks for life. First, methane, now phosphine. It brings this whole new set of questions to light of, are we looking for life in the right places on other worlds? Because something like you brought up, life can exist in places you don't think, like these 1,000-degree jets and the bottom of this and that. You know, they crack open a cave that hasn't seen light for thousands of years, and there's new creatures and life in there. They drill down to the bottom of these lakes in Antarctica, and they're just teeming with life.
Yeah.
It brings up all these questions. And one thing's for certain, and you can't say otherwise, it's going to fuel more research into the possibility of life in Venus's atmosphere. That's for sure.
Sure.
You know, as long as someone doesn't go, you carried your two wrong here, and it's not phosphine, it's, you know, whatever.
It's phosphate.
Oh, shit. It's Mountain Dew Code Red. Shit.
You just spilled a little on your instrument.
So here's a quote. We know that is an extraordinary discovery. That's from Clara Sousa Silva, a molecular astrophysicist at Harvard University. And she's research. She focuses on phosphine. And another of the authors said, we may not know just how extraordinary without going back to Venus. And I think that's important. Well, guess what? Clara, you guys are in fucking luck, because it just so happens that there is a joint mission comprising two spacecraft, one from the European Space Agency, ESA, and the other from the Japanese Space Agency, JAXA, is about to fly past Venus and maybe, just maybe, could tell us for sure.
Yeah.
How fucking crazy is that? Just like, so this is going to work out. We got this going on for you. I love the name. The vehicle is called Bepi Colombo.
I'm sorry.
With me now.
Pepe Colombo?
B-E-P-I-C-O-L-O-M-B-O. Bepi Colombo. Pepe Giuseppe.
Bepi Colombo.
Bepi Colombo will do your drive-by. Anyway, it was launched in 2018, and it's on its way to inner orbit around Mercury. So it's not actually going to study Venus per se, but
right
to get to Mercury,
it's in the neighborhood,
right? So to get to Mercury, it's plans to do two flybys of Venus to use its gravity to slow itself down, one on October 15th of 2020, just around the corner, and the other on August 10th of 2021. So they're doing this loop to use it, the gravity, as like an air brake almost. The first one's kind of far away. The second one's still far away, but, you know, close enough that they were already planning on turning their instruments to Venus no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And the team's running the spacecraft. So they're going to, well, based on the detection of phosphine from the Earth telescopes, they're going to use and tune their instruments to look for it. And they said, we possibly could detect phosphine. That's from one of the project scientists. But we don't know if our instruments are sensitive enough, at least for the first flyby. So it's a slim chance they might be able to do it, but they said they will use the first chance. Maybe they'll pick it up and then they can learn from it. And if it didn't work, they might be able to tune stuff on the fly, which just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Just typing into a terminal going, hey, sniff for this. And it's like, gotcha, dude.
That's I'll pretty try. Cool.
How fucking crazy is that? And how, like, okay, well, we can get you there in 2 weeks. We're going to have something there like a month from now.
I mean, it's space is big. Right. So to have something even that close in the neighborhood is pretty amazing already.
Yeah.
And it's good timing for them for this paper. You know, I'm sure it'll do nothing but help. But like you said before, in terms of life, like the word life, that is inevitably going to be expanded at some point if we can survive ourselves.
Good point.
And you know, the old Star Treks had the silicon based life forms instead of our carbon based. So there's always that possibility. To me, the reason I'm not like super excited about this news, I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, if you don't find bacteria on a planet or a rock somewhere in space, I think that's weird.
Right.
It just seems like it's so small and everywhere that you would at least find something.
Or
you know?
Evidence that it was there.
Uh-huh.
You know, of some point. Yeah, because I don't think I'm of your mind. And I think the problem is when people think of life outside of here, they think of this big alien buzzing by and probing and it could just be a single cell organism that changes everything. Everything.
And that's not as sexy, of course, you know, not to the layperson.
Well, it depends on what kind of fetishist you are. Like you were talking earlier, what was that word you dropped on us earlier?
Extremophile. Yeah. If you're an extremophile, oh boy, this is your Sabbath.
You son of a bitch. Get that single cell a bouncing, baby.
give me that flip. Flagellum or whatever they used. What is it? Cilia?
Are you as sustained and jelly as I am?
Oh yeah, envelop me. Envelop me harder, daddy.
Oh god.
So yeah, right. So if you're a single cell fetishist, it's your heyday. But I feel like I'm gonna be not impressed until they say here are some kind of like creatures.
Right. I get that too. I
don't even have to be civilization.
Yeah, because I think that, and the common person, as we've seen when these things come out, everyone has always said in the past, people are going to freak out. And then you have like the videos of Tic Tac and the like, and people go, yeah. And I think if they did come out and say, we're not alone because here is a microbe, people go, yeah. And it is until something of an intergalactic threat or a find of substance that, and there are other places, and we'll talk about that after the break, but there are other places in this solar system which we can even be looking for that. So hopefully we're going to find that. Let's get a break real quick, and when we come back, is there other life like that? Where do we look? Is this the first time that we've had these big aha moments? Aha.
Aha.
That's next.
Life. To life. To life.
Hysteria 51. Microbes, single cell, sexy.
Single cell, sexy.
That's the
triple
threat.
The new Showtime program.
You know, I don't know if you remember this, but we're talking about life. People say that they might have even detected life on Mars decades ago. Remember when they were looking at those rocks and thought they found like a... It was a fossil of...
Fossilized bacteria, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then other people said that there is no way that's not true. And that was kind of a decisive thing where even like big name scientists put their name on it and said, no, that we found it. It's, you know, they didn't find it alive, but they found the... traces of life, like as you're saying. But there's also other places, you know, the Titan, the giant, it's the largest satellite out there. Europa, which they think has an ocean underneath its ice shelf. They know it has. And so that's one of those places where they're like, well, let's go fucking fishing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the probably, Europa seems to be the biggest chance in our close solar system to be able to find what you're looking for, which is an organism, they think. Or nothing. We'll see, right? But yeah.
Europa seems to have more chance of finding something like that than the clouds of Venus. Because I think there's just more, there's probably more stuff in there. When you think of Venus and the clouds, there's nothing to latch onto that we can, you know, tell or see. There's nothing to really coalesce around or cause something to grow on or
right. What's, you know, what's surround. The sticking point? What's the, what's the holder? What's the, you know, everything that we know is in something of some sort.
Yeah. So Europa solves that pretty easily. Cause you know, if things are near the seafloor of that, that moon, that satellite, it's going to be around geysers. There's going to be a rocky structure. There's plenty of places to propagate on that surface, even though it's underneath, you know, a crust of ice.
Right. There was a movie about that not too long ago.
Yeah.
His name is escaping me, but they went there and they got eaten.
Europa Report.
Yep.
They just laid down on the ice and shit's like, I'll have a taste of that.
But, you know, this won't make me sick at all. Joke's on you, assholes. COVID. So that brings up a very interesting point though, with Venus having this kind of, like we said, Goldilocks kind of atmospheric layer. All the rest of it is going to be very hard for something to probably, I don't know, just be alive in, survive in, I guess is the word I'm looking for. To our current understanding, and obviously this is why we're talking about this, but for Europa, if you're thinking like finding life in there, we're thinking it's going to be near the seabed because it's probably going to be the warmer spot, but there's a lot of, I guess, liquid, there's a lot of sea, there's a lot of places in there that things might not be able to survive in, just like in Venus. Right. So maybe there's a Goldilocks zone on Europa that's, you know, somewhere in the middle of that ocean, or maybe it's towards the surface, or maybe it's right on the seafloor, right towards the middle of it. And then maybe there's other places on there where nothing can survive. So even with, and think about Earth too, you know, we've got this kind of Goldilocks sphere that we can survive in. If we go up too high, we're going to run out of oxygen. We're going to run out of, the temperature is going to fall too low for us. If we go too low, same thing, like it's going to get too hot. So there is within planets themselves, not even solar systems, within planets themselves, within celestial objects, there is a habitable zone, it seems like. So what we have to decide, I guess, is are there these hot, sexy extremophiles that defy all these Goldilocks zones? Or are we just going to have to kind of limit where we look at these objects? You know what I'm saying? That's very long-winded. I believe.
And the other thing is, how much time, effort, and money do we put into looking into them? That's another thing that a lot of
people ask. If we're just going to find bacteria, I'm just kind of like, let's keep that telescope swirling. Like,
right.
Let's look somewhere else.
And the other thing that I think really throws a huge wrench into this, and we've mentioned them earlier, is Valiant Thor didn't say shit about bacteria. He said they lived underground, and we talked about him before. You know, if you want to learn all about the OG Venusian that we've talked and his supposed ties to our secret space program, the government, presidents, and all that shit, and when he's going to come back to fix it all, you can listen to episode 56, Secret Space Program, and episode 90, Alien Races, of this podcast right here. So we got some homework for you. But yeah, Valiant Thor, man, this purple skinned looker. I like to think you look like John Hamm, just that John Hamm in Mad Men, but with a slight purple hue, and just be like, yeah, cats, you're crazy, goo 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 choo, you know.
Now I'm going to go have sex with my secretary.
I'll be back. The thing about this is, though, and I know we've talked about there might be other sexier places like Europa and Titan and things, but Venus just got more interesting. And here's a tweet this week. Jim Bridenstine, the administrator of NASA, he responded to the findings on Twitter saying, it's time to prioritize Venus. And that's an important thing. I think that's awesome that they're looking at it and saying, yeah, we need to do this shit. But it's not like we could just go there and we're going to know in a month. Shit takes time to build the probe, to fly the probe. It's years. Everything we're doing is years.
Yeah. And I mean, Venus is attractive because of its proximity. Mars is a little farther away, but Mars is attractive because we can actually land on it and walk around and be there.
Right.
And that makes things a lot easier for what we're looking for and what we need to be doing, which is, you know, figuring out a way off this rock since we keep light setting fire to it.
Shit's hammering. Well, it's a boy. Yeah, boo. Oh, man. So I was hinting at this earlier. I guess my big question to you, my last question as far as this goes, is they prove it tomorrow, and it is a bacteria. It's a single cell. It's nothing. I mean, it is something. It's huge. What does that mean for mankind, religion, science, etc.? You know it's not sexy to you, but do you think that'll make a lot of differences, or will it just be overlooked like I said some things have been in the past?
As you've said before, I think it will be a gigantic meh. If people coming out and saying, yes, these UFO videos are real, we don't know what's going on. One person even says it's extraterrestrial for sure. If that generates very little excitement in the general population, this doesn't have a chance. This has got a snowball's chance on the surface of Venus.
Well, don't you know about the snow groves of Venus? That's, I mean, Valiant Thor.
I told you not to mention that. That's my special place.
I just like saying Venusian. Venusian. I like saying it just like that too. Venusian.
Ancient Venus.
We think we found Venusian life on the surface of Venus.
Venus does sound a lot better than Venus.
Venus. Planet Arkansas. Yeah, I really do tend to agree with you. It'll be very, very poignant, and one of those things that goes down in history as one of the most important dates in history, and people go, well, yeah, but what's Bitcoin doing? You know, that's just the world
what's
we
DJ
live in
Khaled
right
doing?
Oh, well, there you
so
go.
So, like, that's a thing.
He likes his cells, another one, and another one, and another one. Wow.
But there's been a ton of just groundbreaking scientific discoveries happening. And my question to you then is, are we screwed as a species because stuff like this just doesn't matter anymore because it's happening so frequently? There's too many people on the planet. Or is this going to be looked back on and kind of retroactively made a bigger deal than it is?
I think that's the thing, because we are too embroiled into our own lives to let things like this have the I don't want to say severity, but the weight of something like this, if it was to be true, sometimes is lost on us. And then they go back and they look at it years later, and it doesn't have to be generations later. Can be just a few years.
Decades,
go, that was a very intriguing or important moment. But like you said, there's a lot of people on this planet and a lot of different religions and cultures and ideals. And we're going to blow ourselves up one of these days if we don't start getting our shit together. And so I think things like this need to be the forefront of what we're talking about more than it is, instead of just the hate and jealousy and outrage that is, you know, in our culture as it be right now.
Focusing on differences as opposed to focusing on things that we do well together and trying to help each other.
Yeah, yeah, and that's kind of been the way for a long time, and it's good because we need to be able to look at what's different to work on it, but not to use that to divide. And, you know, I think that a lot of times science and discoveries and research can help with that if we allow it to, and that's the important part. You got to allow it to, and to make people understand how important things are. Yeah, you know, so what are you going to do? Life. Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, we'll ruin that planet too, is what I'm getting at. I think that's the big the takeaway from this whole thing is maybe that's where we came from. We fucked that place with greenhouse gases. We hopped right over here.
That is a big theory that goes around, and same for Mars too, but like Venus is, they said it was what, almost 5 billion years ago it might have had water, it might have had oceans,
Earth,
and then
was still just a hot rock of nothingness. It was probably teeming with the products that make life.
And it's crazy, and lasted that way for, you know, a couple billions of years, and then the greenhouse effect went crazy, went haywire, went out of control. And the reason, this is something I always think is interesting on planets that you see, because you never, like, if you saw Earth without water, it'd look weird.
Go to Stereo Nation. I just posted a picture this week of that, interestingly enough.
So there you go. And like, when we look at these planets, they look very smooth. And I was wondering about that for Venus, too. Of course, we don't know exactly the topography of Venus.
But it is rocky. It is rocky, like Earth.
Very rocky, kind of. And it does kind of look smooth. And one video I watched said that there was a lot of, I think they said it was basaltic lava that erupted, which helped, like, in the whole process of it just getting wrecked as a planet, that kind of boiled up to the surface and made it a little more smooth than, so like it, how it looks now is nothing like it looked back in
it's a lot more reflective, and shit got trapped in its atmosphere, and
yeah, and then stuff came from inside to the surface and hardened. So, you know, you got to think, well, if that happens to Earth, that's pretty crazy. What would that look like? Would it be enough to fill some of the oceans, where the oceans were? Would it, you know, what kind of landscape would that make Earth look like? It's crazy to think about.
So that's our thoughts on shit we don't really understand. Extremophiles. That's our thoughts on Extremophiles.
Hot.
If you guys,
Venus is hot.
It's so that is one hot planet, and it's a twin. Twins. Yeah. If you guys want to tell us your thoughts on Venus or Titan or Europa or David Flora, or I mean John God, Stamos, anything, just make sure you hop on Facebook, search Hysteria Nation, or you can find our regular Facebook page at facebook.com/hysteria51pod. Tweet to us at hysteria51pod. patreon.com/hysteria51. You can get extra episodes, radio dramas, and up all nights and all sorts of fun stuff. Leave us a voicemail, 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. If you forget any of that for Hysteria 51, hysteria51.com. But there's another show, a couple other shows we need to talk about, and some other shit. Tell them everything that you got your fucking little pinky in these days.
You don't want to know all of it, so I'll censor some, but... blurryphotos.org to find all the past episodes archives, and they're basically on every podcatcher that Brent mentioned as well, although some aren't on some platforms just because I
didn't
want
to use it. You can now find Hysteria 51 on Amazon. How about that?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? So go to the archives page if you want to find all the episodes, the Bullstones, which we've had you guys on there before. Check out quizbangpod.com if you like trivia, you want to hear some fun trivia, or even some competition that Brent has appeared on as well.
Lost and spectacularly at is the way I like to put it.
It was a close one. It was a heartbreaker,
hey,
I guess.
Can I just say one sentence I've never said and I really want to hear it? Hopefully one day you'll talk about Beppe Colombo on Quiz Bang Pod. What was that? Beppe Colombo on Quiz Bang Pod. Beppe Colombo on Quiz Bang Pod.
Okay. Beppe Colombo.
We rape the horses and rode off on the women outside of Beppe Colombo. Who the hell what? Are you?
He's a sweater.
Would you say there's a plethora of single cell organisms?
See, el guapo.
I apologize.
Yeah, that opens up a can. But anyways, yeah, find all that stuff on blurryphotos.org, quizbankpod.com, and if you listen to audiobooks, I have a new audiobook out that I narrated. It's called Living Among Bigfoot, Collector's Edition, Volume 1 through 5. It's written by Tom Lyons. A lot of fun about
It's not
living...
as good as you think, though, because it's just him going, Jeff, clean your shit!
Bigfoot,
it's your turn
did you
to
eat
do the
my
dishes,
peanut butter?
Bigfoot?
I'm drawing a line down this room right now, Bigfoot. But yeah, it's a ton of fun. I'm working on the second edition right now, and it helps Tom and me out if you go give it a listen and review it positively.
Yeah.
So
whatever's in your heart, but we know it's 5 stars.
Exactly. That's what's going on with me. Those are the big things. And Blurry Photober is coming up, the spookiest time of the year. So it's all fun.
It's the most spookiest time of the year. Where people are supposed to wear masks, so they probably won't this year.
I've seen a Scary Karen mask is going to be the hot, the hot seller.
Is there a difference between regular Karen and Scary Karen?
No. Yeah, they just
not really. A little spikier in the back.
Yeah, Karen's probably copyrighted as well.
Yeah, right. No shit. And her confidant, Chad. That's just the way it goes. Yeah. All right. Well, that's been our thoughts on
everything.
Venus. And what kind of people is it that come from Venus?
Venusian.
The Venusians are known to be extremophiles. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So that's been our thoughts. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meat sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand shine.